Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody stand up on your feet and make some noise for one of the most phenomenal female groups of our time. Jackie, Dorinda, Karen, Twinkie, the Clark Sisters.
Radio, August 26, 2023. Good morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We're taking charge and living life to the fullness. I'm your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers, and we honor the host, Dr. Maria Carey, on this morning, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. And we have an anointed, spirit-filled lesson on today. So let's get right to it. Announcement. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 43-8411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And thank you to those who have sent in your donation. They are well appreciated. Mother Adams, we did receive, and we thank you for your donation. To everyone listening to Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this continuing month of 2023. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text 309-750-7584 or email amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com. And we are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. If you want to connect to this lesson live, the link is http://tobtr.com/s/122-62195. Let's get into an explanation of our lesson. We're living in challenging times. And this weekend and going into Monday, we're going to hear of individuals that have lost their lives due to senselessly gun violence. We see the start of political debates for president, and we see the evil in the hearts of men. Yet, we can say that there is really nothing new under the sun. If we go back to the book of Numbers, we read that Moses sent 12 individuals over to Canaan to spy out the land. This was the promised land. And only two came back with a favorable report. My question to you today is, Will you be able to enter into your promised land? We have a word on today that will illuminate your heart, lift you to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ, to end your suffering. We will take you on a journey in the word that will give you greater peace, greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we set the pace for victory. We're fighting the good fight of faith and using our spiritual weapons. The theme for this month of August is winning the battle with the soup. The lesson for this Saturday in August is obstacles or opportunities. You decide. Caleb, an assessment of trust. Our text is coming from Numbers 13, 26 through 30, and I'll be reading from the King James Version. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou seest us, sentest us, and surely it flowed with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelt in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Numbers 14, 20 through 24. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. Numbers 14 and 24, and this is the New Living Translation. It says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Let's get into the introduction. In my line of work, I have done a lot of assessments, and those assessments usually can address several areas in a person's life, from biological, social, medical, mental, emotional, and a person's substance usage. They are detailed, but they're there to get a picture and an understanding of an individual so that they can be given the right treatment plan. And their treatment plan is there to address whatever needs or behaviors that they are presenting during this evaluation. Bring them into the counseling therapy sessions, now life coach. History on Caleb. Who is Caleb in the Bible? Caleb was a faithful man of God. Begins in the book of Numbers. After being delivered from bondage in Egypt, the Israelites was led by God to the border of the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, that God had promised they would inherit. That's Exodus 38 and then 17. Moses has chosen 12 men, one from each tribe, to scout the land, Canaan, before entering. Among them was Caleb, representing the tribe of Judah. When Moses picked one leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, was a representative chosen from the tribe of Judah. Judah, the great-grandson of Abraham. This tribe, which came from Judah, was destined to become the tribe of Israel's line of kings, Genesis 49 and 10. The 12 men spied out the land for 40 days and then came back to Moses. They reported that the land was indeed fruitful, but the inhabitants were the mighty descendants of Anak. Terrified by the size and strength of the Canaanites, 10 of the spies warned Moses not to enter Canaan. That's Numbers 13, 23 through 33. Caleb silenced the murmuring of the fearful men by saying, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Numbers 13 and 30. Caleb took his stand because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Joshua 14, 8 and 9. Joshua 14, 8 and 9, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "But my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So that day Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever, because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God." Wholeheartedly is an adverb that means doing something, supporting someone, or being devoted, determined, or enthusiastic without doubt, uncertainty, reserve, or hesitation. It is derived from the adjective wholehearted, which describes something that is marked by complete earnest commitment. Wholeheartedly means showing or characterized by complete sincerity and commitment. Some synonyms of wholehearted include committed, positive, empathetic, devoted, and dedicated. Antonyms include half-heartedly, qualified, and partial. So we can gather from the word wholeheartedly that Caleb was completely committed to God with everything he had. Caleb knew of the promises of God to the Israelites, and despite the evidence of his own eyes regarding the obstacles, he had faith that God would give him the victory over the Canaanites. Your circle of people around you, watch the people you hang with when going through trials. Unfortunately, the people of Israel ignored Caleb and listened to the report of the other spies. They were so frightened that they wept all night and even wished they had died at the hands of their slave masters in Egypt. That's Numbers 14, 1 through 4. They turned to Caleb and Joshua, the spies from Ephraim, and wanted to stone them on the spot, Numbers 14, 6 through 10. God was exceedingly angry with the people and threatened to destroy them until Moses interceded for them. God relented, but he decreed that the people would wander in the wilderness until all of their faithless generations had died. But God said that my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, and gave him the promise that he would own all the land he had seen as a spy. Numbers 14, 11 through 24. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until all of their generations except Joshua and Caleb died. That's Numbers 14, 29 and 30. After the 40 years of wandering and 5 more years of war within Canaan, Caleb was 85 years old. He was as strong as ever and able to fight the same Anakites that had frightened his countrymen. His confidence was born out of his absolute faith in the promises of God, Joshua 15, 13, and 14. If something catches your attention when you're walking down the street, have you ever noticed that you drift in that direction? Someone might yell, "Hey, look where you're going." But the problem is that you're going where you're looking. The same principle is true in every area of life. Wherever we're looking is where we're going. That would be our destination. This is why God wants us to focus on his word and not our circumstances. We have an example of this in the lives of the children of Israel. God promised the generation of Israel who came out of Egypt that he would give them a land flowing with milk and honey. When they got there, they saw how great the land was, but they also saw giants and fortified cities. The vast majority of them focused on the obstacles. What they saw held their captive, and they stayed in the wilderness. Only Joshua and Caleb believed God's promise and eventually entered the promised land. Numbers 13, 26 through 14, and then 24. If the Israelites had focused on God's promises to give them the land, they would have entered it with Joshua and Caleb. God was giving them a great opportunity, but they focused on the obstacles instead of the opportunity. They continually looked at their circumstances and received nothing. Every time an obstacle comes across our path, we need to understand that it is just another opportunity for us to prove that God's word works. Every obstacle is an opportunity. Looking at life's obstacles that way will challenge our perspective. It will change how we feel and talk. It will change everything about us. Joshua learned the secrets of seeing things nobody else can see. God told him to meditate on the word day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Joshua 1:8, and that's the New Living Translation. Seeing things that no one else sees is what Paul talked about when he told us to snook at the unseen realm. 2 Corinthians 4:18. 2 Corinthians 4:18, New Living Translation says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. When others are looking at the obstacles, we're looking at the opportunities. Joshua and Caleb, they saw themselves living in the promised land, and they eventually possessed the land. Change your mindset and see yourself with what you need. Say to yourself, heal. See yourself without lack. See yourself blessed. In other words, see yourself possessing what God's word says is yours. When Joshua led the next generation of Israelites into the promised land to see to possess it, the circumstances and obstacles had not changed. Giants and fortified cities were still in the land. But this new group focused on God's word instead of the circumstances. When the Israelites crossed Jordan's River, the first obstacle they faced was the walled city of Jericho. But God told Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hands. Joshua 6:2, and that's the New King James Version. This generation of Israelites listened to God's instructions and obeyed them. He told them to march around the city once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to march around Jericho 7 times, and the 7 priests were to blow trumpets. When the people heard the trumpets, they were supposed to shout, and the walls of the city will fall down. The Israelites focused on the unseen thing God told them what happened if they obeyed his instructions. How many that we need to go back and obey God's instructions? When they did as God said, the walls fell down flat. Then they went in and took possession of the city, Joshua 6:3-20. They didn't look at the large walled city as an obstacle. They focused on the opportunity God gave them by looking at the unseen, and they went on to take the land. Here is the wholehearted servant Caleb. When Caleb was 40 years old, Moses promised him all the land where he placed his feet. 45 years later, at the age of 85, Caleb said to Joshua, give me this mountain of which the Lord spake in that day. That's Joshua 14:12. The mountain he wanted had giants in it, but he didn't focus on the giants. Instead, he looked at the opportunity of having the beautiful mountain as his possession. He looked at the fruit growing there and imagined how nice it would be to build his house overlooking the plains where his relatives lived. Caleb had meditated on having this mountain all the time he was in the wilderness. 40 years wandering with that group of unbelieving people did not change his way of thinking. He didn't become discouraged. He kept looking at the promise. He saw the situation the way God saw it, and God gave Caleb this mountain. Territory in Canaan included Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron. Arba was the forefather of Anak. From Hebron, Caleb drove out the 3 Anakites, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Kelmi, the son of Anak. From there, he marched against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer. Joshua 15:13-15. Othniel, a nephew of Caleb, captured Kiriath Sefer and was given Caleb's daughter, Aksa, to wed. That's verses 16-17. Later, Aksa asked her father to include some spring of water as part of her inheritance. That's verse 18-19. And Caleb gave them to her. Later still, Othniel, Caleb's son-in-law, became Israel's first judge. That's Judges 3:7-11. From the accounts of the life of Caleb, we see a faithful man who trusted God to fulfill his promises when others allowed their fears to override their small faith. Even until his later years, Caleb remained steadfast in his faith. God bless Caleb for his faithfulness and patience as encouragement to us to believe God. Like Caleb, we should be prepared to follow God in every circumstance, patiently waiting for him to fulfill his promise and ready to take action when the time is right. In conclusion, possessing the promises, God created us to rule and reign in life, not to be dominated and reigned over. Christ won the battle for us by defeating Satan. But we must fight the fight, the good fight of faith, 1 Timothy 6:12, to receive the victory God has for us. The fight involves three basic areas. One, you must fight to believe something. The devil will do everything he can to get you not to believe God's word. Fight for your belief by continually feeding yourself upon the word. Two, you must fight to say something when the devil whispers something in your ear. Recruit those thoughts immediately by saying what the word says. When he tells you you can't, you tell him, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Three, you must fight to do something. It's important that you function as though the word is true. God wants you to act like the victor he created you to be, not cast down or defeated, because we are victorious. Let's pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly before your throne of grace. Lord God, we just thank you this morning for waking us up, God. Hallelujah. With our minds towards serving you, God. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. You are truly the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace, and we thank you on today, Lord God. Lord God, forgive us, God. Forgive us for any sins we have committed, God, knowingly and unknowingly, Lord God. And then forgive us for our slothfulness, Lord God. Hallelujah. Help us to obey your word, God. And then, Lord God, help us to focus on you, God, you and your word. Lead us and guide us, Lord God. Lord God, then I just ask you to look on the listeners one by one, name by name, Lord God. Hallelujah. Do for them that which they can't do for themselves, Lord God. And look on Dr. Carey this morning, Lord God. Be with her, Lord God, in all her future endeavors, Lord God. Look on her parents. Look on Mother Carey this morning, Lord God. Look on Mother Norman and Mother Maxine this morning, Lord God. Oh, God, look on the bereaved, Lord God. Look on the Belochi family and the Dotson family, Lord God, today, Lord God. And then be with them on next week, Lord God. And then, Lord God, look on Mother Garnett, Mother Esther Moore, God. Hallelujah. We just thank you for all the mothers, God, Lord God. And then we ask you to go down in Texas and look on Sister Christine and Sister Martin down in Texas, Lord God. Look on Sister Pat, God. Look on Mother Esther Moore, God. Touch her, God. Give her strength in her body, Lord God. Touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to look on the ministerial staff, Lord God. Lord God, look on Ella Rogers, Lord God. Look on Dad Ellis, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to look on your people everywhere, God. Look on the ushers, Lord God, the doorkeepers, God. Look on the lay members this morning, Lord God. Look on Vincent this morning, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you. Look on Mother Adams this morning, God. Hallelujah. You know what she need, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we just thank you, then, God. Look on my leaders this morning, Lord God. Administrative Assistant Superintendent Dr. Byron L. Gibbs and Lady Gibbs, God. Look on my Assistant Pastor Elder Johnson and Evangelist Johnson, God. And then, Lord God, do for your people, God, that we can't do for ourselves. And just be with us, God. Continue to watch our children, our grandchildren, Lord God, as they go out to school, safe travels, Lord God. And then, Lord God, those that have to get up and go to work, God, give them the strength in their body to do the things that they need to do. But most importantly, Lord God, keep us, keep our minds, Lord God. You said that will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, Lord God. Keep our minds so we can stay focused, Lord God, on the star post of Zion, God. Hallelujah, because we want to see our promised land, God. You promised it, and we want to see it, God. And then, Lord God, we just ask you to be with us in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio this morning, where your host is to Dr. Maria Carey, and today your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week. Dr. Carey will be back 9 o'clock. Enjoy your day, and have a blessed day on purpose.